Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Well, welcome to another podcast here with Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. I got a real estate agent, Chase Carter, here. We know this is the headline news, the NAR. We're going to strike it like it's hot, right? I want to get Chase's, you know, he's a really good real estate agent here in Utah. I wanted to get his thoughts on this entire thing that's going on because I think the biggest thing I would say here is confusion. I think there's just so much confusion going on. And the fact that a lot of real estate agents themselves are confused, that's not good for consumers because now consumers are very confused. I have a lot of people messaging me. They just have no idea what's going on. So first and foremost, we'll just backtrack to what is the NAR to begin with, and then we'll just dive in after that.
Yeah, so the NAR, or the National Association of Realtors, is basically like the controlling head entity for the association that realtors belong to, realtors, right? There's real estate agents and there's realtors.
Which is also confusing for the consumers.
Or if you're in Utah, a realtor.
Right? Realtor.
Yeah. But honestly, like what it boils down to is just a bunch of people that take your money and you pay a bunch of fees every year and you look for the value they provide. And to me personally, they haven't provided a ton of value. And now they're paying these lawsuits. They're changing the industry because you can make the argument they didn't do their job.
It kind of just came out without, like, the biggest thing I've been noticing is like, okay, cool. They come out with this lawsuit, but they didn't give any structure or like even a heads up. I don't even know if they even had a collaborative meeting beforehand about this with you guys to vote or whatever. I don't even know. It just kind of came out. And then after that, there wasn't really much context of what's next.
Yeah. So in the last 6 months, there's been these massive class action lawsuits against Keller Williams and some of the big names. I don't think Berkshire Hathaway, but some of the biggest brokerages in the United States had class action lawsuits about commissions. And the NAR, out of nowhere, made this settlement basically to say, stop with all that. Let's just settle out of it. And these lawyers are lining their pockets. They're the ones that are making
out like bandits. Lawyers are the ones
paid, right? But it's basically making it so they're going to do the settlement and no more of these BS lawsuits. Let's just end it.
These piggyback, basically.
Copycat stuff. Like there was already a group in Utah I've seen that was putting together a class action lawsuit. Like that's all ending. So in that sense, it's good, right? That they're ending the BS, but we shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Because
basically what it boils down to is the lawsuit was over price fixing commissions and the standard of 6%. The thing that's frustrating as a realtor is, or an agent or whoever in the industry, is these headlines are so sensationalizing.
Yeah, right? They're only focused on the negative too. And a lot of times they have no context to it whatsoever. Like I've seen some headlines where they're like, buyer's agent commission, gone.
Gone forever.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like
6%, never again, right? And it's like, and then you read the article, there was one from the Associated Press that was all over CNN, and it was like, the required 6%, that's all BS. There
was never
required, ever. And that's the problem, is that the NAR did require, the only thing they ever required was you had to pay a cooperating brokerage, a buyer broker, in some manner. It could literally be a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I've seen BACs, buyer agent commissions on the Utah MLS for $1. It's from a brokerage that rhymes with Shlomi. and that's just how they do their business. That's okay, you know. But in order to be on the MLS, because the MLS is what's provided by the NAR, right? It's all just a bunch of bureaucratic, I don't know if I can swear, but it's all a bunch of bullshit.
There you go.
You know, like it just really is. And so you had to offer one. Now what they're saying is no more. And because you had to offer one, it was required. Right.
Interesting.
It's all just baloney and a bunch of.
So now there's a $418 million or whatever settlement. What happens next? What have they kind of said throughout? Like they've kind of been a little vague on it.
Yeah.
What have you seen? Kind of what's going to happen?
So the big changes is the biggest thing is that sellers, as it stands now, right, as of today in March 2024, year of our Lord, they have to offer a compensation to a cooperating buyer broker. That could be a dollar. It could be 3%. It could be 10%. It doesn't matter. They have to provide that. That is no more. The interesting thing about the Utah MLS is about 18 months ago, the buyer agent commission, the BAC, was not public information. Only agents could see it.
Really? So it was only for agents?
Only for agents. And when these lawsuits and these complaints started, in order to be more transparent, they made it public. And so you could go on the MLS, me or you or whoever, you know.
See the
buyer.
It was
a public thing saying, we are offering X percentage to buyer brokers, brokerages. And that, now they're taking that all the way. There will be zero mention of compensation for buyers, agents on the MLS. It'll be all done off the MLS.
So if it's off the MLS, what would necessarily be the next step? Just making the phone call and saying, what are you negotiating? Is the seller still going to be negotiating with the listing agent and the listing agent? Because historically, I'm not a real estate agent, but correct me if I'm wrong, the listing agent a lot of times has the power to negotiate whatever they've, let's say they've done 6 or 5 or 4%, whatever's remaining to that buyer's agent. Is that correct?
Yes. So in the exclusive right to sell agreement, the agreement, I'm selling your house, I come to you, we meet, I'm an agent that shows my value. You understand why you're paying 6% or the standard or whatever percentage we land on. Let's say it's 6, just for math's sake. In the agreement, it says you are willing to pay me 6%. And then later in that paragraph, it says, and if an agent brings a buyer and we close, and that agent is represented by a brokerage, we will pay them as a cooperating brokerage what percentage? Usually it's 3. Usually you split it. I feel like 6% is kind of actually already gone.
Threw some statistics on our Monday market update that there was a large amount throughout the United States. Statistic went from all the way from California to New York, that there was like an average between anywhere between 2 and 4%. So, I mean, it's gone down already. That's why when they say the required 6% on the news, it's just, that's not.
I wish it was. I would have made a lot more money. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's just, it's, you know, perception's reality though, right?
So when the news says something, frustrating for us.
That's where it's like, but another perception I see is when some of these agents that, these real estate agents that aren't themselves versed in this and they post and spew stuff online, it's like, what, you're literally shooting yourself in the foot, because now perception is going to be reality, because the perception is you are the real estate agent, you are the professional, and you're saying this about what's going on, and it's completely wrong. Your consumers are just going to be like, so-and-so said this, so that's what it is. How are you kind of combating that with, you know, in every industry, obviously, in my industry, your industry, there are very, very good real estate agents. There's also, in my professional opinion, just not very good real estate agents. With the education that they have about this, how are you navigating that right now when you're seeing stuff like that, when you see an outlandish post that has nothing to do with the news? What are you seeing, you and your peers? What are they doing about it right now?
I've had a few agents text me about it and like, hey, what do you think? What does this mean for us? Because they haven't been able to research themselves. And I kind of say the same thing I've been saying since I got in the game in 2017, which is, if you have value, it'll prove itself, number one. I think that's in every facet of business, right? Like, you prove your value, people will gladly pay you. And then number two, like, you should have never been married to 6% in the first place. I never have been. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. I can't tell you how many agents, just a few weeks ago, dude, an agent, I have a listing, she brings me an offer.
Yeah.
We're offering 2.5%. It's a VA loan, it's awesome, we're excited about it. She goes, oh, one last hang up. My buyer broker signed at 3%. So I don't want my buyers to have to make up that extra 0.5%. Can you raise it to 3? And I said, no. We've already negotiated. Mm-hmm. Like, we already did all these things where, you know, there's some concessions thrown in, there's different things thrown in, there's purchase price already negotiated. Don't throw your commission in very last. And she goes, well, what am I supposed to do? And I said, take a lower commission. Take what we're offering you. Or take it up with your buyers or have them pay you. But this isn't our fault. Like, this is what we're offering. We're offering 2.5. Take it or leave it.
So that should be a positive spin on this, all this that's happening, that there may be something more conforming to kind of not have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and what was sad about it is she's like, she didn't know what to do. She's like, well, I have to get permission to do that. I'm like, permission from who? Mm-hmm. My broker. And it is one of the big brokerages. Like,
Yeah.
The really big one. And I was like, what? You know, like, you can't run your own business. You can't, I don't know. To me, it's like, it's 0.5%. Get the deal closed. Take your 2.5%. Go buy a new pair of shoes and move on.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know? I'm so sorry. 2.5.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. You're going to miss out on like $2,000 or whatever the number is, you know, like.
And I think that's where a lot of the negative connotation right now is actually happening. That story right there, and that's, you know, she was actually not, she just didn't know.
No. Well, I think it was more of a
Other ones that are stickler of like, nope, you're paying me this. Sorry. Yeah. I think that's where it can get a little bit dicey.
Sure. And it's a problem with realtors as far as like they think they're all deserving. We think we're the best. We are the worst, in my opinion, and the best, you know. But
yeah.
But what we have to understand is for me in my business, if you want to sit there and hold out for your 3%, I'll take 2, 2.5 all day. I'll do 10 deals at 2. You can do your 3 or 4 at 3.
But you're just showing that it's flexible. It's not, yeah. That's not what they're saying. It's something that, you know, I think, and that's why I think for you, that can, I would like to tell a lot of real estate agents that may be listening to this, is that you got to really work on business development. You can't just rely on the MLS saying, oh, the BAC is going to be this. You're going to have to really show your proposition on how good you are as an agent,
yeah.
The value you provide as an agent. Like, you know, I was telling them on Monday this, and I was like, hey, look, we have to show our proposition literally from the start. It's kind of nice. Here's the rate. Here's the fees. Yeah. Here's what's going on. Education is key. And you really show your value from the get-go. A lot of times, too, with this lawsuit that people don't understand is, you know, people wouldn't talk about some brokers have a transaction fee with real estate. And that 9 out of 10 times that we see, we don't even find that out till the end. So it's like, oh, $1,000 at the end or $500 at the end.
Yep.
And it's a surprise, and that's something I think they're going to try to fix. And that's another thing that we make joke as a loan officer is like, oh, 6% and this transaction fee. Like at times we just, it's, you know, it's just locker room talk of like, really guys, another $600 on top of whatever you guys made. But you know, that's the negative connotation though that people see. So how do you think people will, you know, after this is all, the dust settles and there's actually like, you know, I feel like there's not really, what's the vision here or what's the actual concrete, what's to happen next? What do you think A, will happen with concrete evidence, and B, you know, what do you think the agent, how the agents will respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's a little crystal ball-y, you know, but I do have an idea of what I think is going to happen, and that's business as usual for a lot of people. I think with the 90-10 rule in real estate, you know, 10% of the agents make 90% of the money. I think that's going to continue to happen because the market does not matter. Real estate transactions happen every single day. And the agents that are out there providing value, proving their value, branding themselves, doing what they're supposed to be doing, they will get the phone calls.
The ones that can get it done. If you have the relationships in that city to be able to help sell that house, that will be so valuable, yeah, for people.
Why am I willing to list a house at, I mean, 1.5% sometimes? Why have I done that? Because I want these people in my sphere. I want them to feel like they're taken care of. And guess what? They're going to be my client forever. I'm not doing the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Thanks for the commission. See you later.
Yeah.
I want you in me. I want you in my sphere of influence. I want you to invite you to my events. It brings, you know, it's the mortgage, yep, thing, right? Relationships, not transactions. And so,
yep,
that's how the agent is going to succeed going forward. I think gone are the days where it's going to be very tough for the uncle agent that has his license, renewed it once, helped me buy a house. They're still going to exist, but it'll be fewer and far between.
Business development, I think this will make it so that every single real estate agent will up their game,
yeah,
on being a professional. I think a lot of professional agents will have to learn how to have a way better buyer consultation presentation or a listing consultation presentation. They're going to have to learn how to negotiate a lot more than some of them. Because there's the ones that negotiate the best, yeah, like you said, the 90-10 rule, they're always going to crush. But I'm thinking the bottom tier agents, if they want to survive, I think in this next tier, it's, you know, the ones that learn business development specifically, I think that's going to be the ones who survive and actually thrive in this. So do you know, like, what's going to happen with the buyer's commission? Have they mentioned anything like that? Or
yeah, so it'll just be off MLS, which I see a few problems with. I think we should just go back to the agent can see it, but they were trying to avoid that because they're trying to avoid steering, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You see four houses and you see one house that has 1% less, you know, commission. You might walk in and be like, yeah, this house is okay. But then you go to that next house and you're like, oh,
this is the best house I've ever seen.
They're probably steering away from that, right? I mean, I'm not a real estate agent, but that's just what I assume.
Here's the problem for me that I foresee. And the NAR settlement. So let's say you're a listing agent, you're selling your home for $500,000 and you have three offers come in. One of them has a buyer agent that wants 2% commission at $500,000, full price offer. One of them has no buyer agent, $500,000, no commission paid. But you're a little leery because they might not know what the hell they're doing. The third one is $510,000 with 3% commission paid to the buyer agent. Like it would be very hard for the listing agent not to steer them towards.
So now it creates a different type of steering.
It's a different type of steering, in my opinion.
Interesting.
And
that's an interesting take.
It's the same. To me, it's the same thing, just in a different way. So, I mean, all you have to do there is just get a spreadsheet and show the math, right?
Yeah.
And then educate your sellers and say, look, this one without any commission on it, the $500,000, it's a full price offer, it's great. I'm going to have to hold their hand the entire time.
Yes.
Which I'm okay doing, right? I've done that before for other people. We have limited agency here in Utah. It's where you can represent both the buyer and the seller. In some states, it's illegal. It is legal here in Utah. Maybe that'll change. Maybe it'll be, you know, there's some things that can change with agency after this. I don't think we'll know until the dust settles fully. But I do know that if you're a good agent and you know how to not only like tell your value, but actually like
show
your value, the clients will trust you. People want somebody in their corner on these massive transactions.
100%.
They
and
need somebody.
They're not there. Like when I see a for sale by owner as a loan officer, those are the hardest transactions. The communications has to essentially go through me. And so a lot of times they want me to help me fill out this form. I'm like, I literally don't have a license. I cannot help you. Yeah. Like, sorry, I can't help you. And then it just sucks for the loan officer because they're frustrated because they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And then when they do it themselves, they write it wrong, and we have to coach them up of what the underwrier wants. And it's just a very delicate situation. It's hard. So whenever we see a for sale by owner that has no buyer agent as well, we as loan officers we're like, oh, we can do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's so opposite. It is not smooth at all.
Yeah.
It is dicey to the end. One hiccup happens, like I'm talking like just minor hiccups, just the most minor things you can think of, like maybe like, oh, there's chip paint on the wall and I'm not happy about that. Like they have to converse to each other about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like middleman, and then it just gets really emotional, and it's something that's people at the end of the transaction are not thinking anymore. So
right.
It's tough. Do you see a lot more of that could possibly happen if someone decides to not use a buyer's agent, or is it just
yeah.
a listing agent holding their hand?
It wouldn't surprise me if like in the beginning, there's a lot of buyers and sellers that are like, I don't need agents. And there's probably a short period of people going rogue or doing it by themselves. And that's fine because it already happens today.
Yeah.
But how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, oh, I'm going to try and throw this up on KSL and sell it by myself. And if it doesn't work, I'll list with an agent. And they always list with an agent.
Yeah.
It's very rare that it works out.
Very rare.
Now, in 2021, when you could, you know, you could list anything you wanted and it would sell, I think people got this weird perception of real estate and it's so easy and da 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 da. And it was easy.
Or 2022, 20.
It was very easy to sell back then. But in the second half of 2022 and 2023, the game changed. And I think the realtor herd already began to thin. And I think it's just going to thin even more now with these new rules.
Yeah.
I think buyer agents and first-time buyers, it's going to be very interesting because let's say you're a first-time home buyer. I come to you, you know me, you're an agent. Yeah. Please help me buy a house. We sign a buyer broker agreement at 3%. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's the usual, or I hate using the word standard, but let's say we negotiate 3%. We go to a seller who doesn't want to offer anything to a buyer agent. What do we do? And the NAR says that it can become a seller concession. So it can be something the sellers can take off the purchase price, which becomes messy on the loan side. Which
yeah, that'll be interesting in itself.
Figure that out yet?
We haven't. We're
because right now you can't really do that. You can negotiate in the REPC commission. So we could put in the REPC, in the offer, we will offer you X amount, blah, 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 but it has to include my buyer's agent getting paid X amount.
So if it's on the REPC, then basically it's basically putting your commission under a microscope. It's right there.
Yes, it's right there. It's very transparent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, you can come out of pocket and pay me. I just have a really hard time with that, especially in Utah. We're the third most unaffordable state in the United States right
yeah.
now. What are we doing? Like, are you going to bring an extra $15,000 to closing for me?
Really hard for first-time home buyer, especially.
You see it every day, right? Like, I just don't see that happening. And so it's hard because I think it's going to be the job of listing agents to educate sellers.
Especially when you're selling a house, you already sometimes, you know, and especially out here in the culture where it's a hard pill to swallow
sure.
selling your house for fees, and now you have to worry about the buy side yeah. now too, potentially, right?
Right.
That's not a thing yet, but like just thinking ahead of that,
yeah.
if that's the case, right? So there's a lot of headspace there.
Here's the thing I can tell you. Are people going to be nasty about it and jerks? Yes.
Oh, they're going to follow whatever the news says.
Are people going to be nice and offer buyer's agents conversation? Yes.
Oh, 100%.
It will happen. It just might be an interesting couple months. So this is all supposed to go into effect in July, mid-July. That's if the Supreme Court upholds it. There's no reason why they won't, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I mean,
yeah, it says it goes into mid-July. It says there's going to be a cooperative compensation agreement has changed. So what's changed is basically prohibited from showing any buyer's agent compensation on the MLS, like you said, but allowed to have buyer's agent commission off of MLS.
Here's my other quick problem with that. On the MLS, it at least was published for someone to see.
Yeah.
Legally.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, I mean, you were texting or we have a phone call and we're negotiating 2%, 1%, 3%. And then we get to the closing table and it's like, actually, we're going to pay you 1%. And it's like, you said 2. Right. It's got to be written. For me, I foresee that kind of being an issue. Like, why are we doing it off MLS? It should still, everything should be written anyways in a contract, but agents are notorious for just like texting things and not having it in an actual contract.
Yeah, it says, what does this mean? You know, in bullet points is buyer's agent compensation can be paid by the buyer. Buyer's agent compensation can be negotiated into the offer. Remains to be seen how underwriting guidelines will be impacted, like you said, for mortgages. Could raise costs for buyers if not built into the deal, and home buyer and seller negotiation kind of changes there. And then will sellers be more flexible since less commission paid to sell? Interesting, kind of a hot topic, kind of a sensitive topic. Yeah. But the reason why it's so sensitive is I think because majority of people right now are not getting properly educated. So I hope this podcast has kind of educated you a little bit on what's actually boots on the ground happening. What would you say mainly for you and your peers is a huge call to action on this?
I think for any agent that's maybe worried about the future, that's worried about, am I going to be paid fairly? Am I going to make money if I'm a buyer agent? You know, there's agents out there that exclusively work with buyers. There's a few things I would say, and I would say, put your head down and get to work. Number one, everything will work itself out. Number two, prove your value.
Ooh, I like that.
Prove it. Prove it to your clients. Prove how valuable you are. And no more pussyfooting around with,
yep,
hey, I'm just going to take this 2% they offer me and I'll open a couple doors for you and I'll write on dot loop or sign now, you know, an offer and it'll be in your inbox. Prove to them why you deserve the paycheck. And then lastly, don't be an idiot.
Love it. That's why I had you be the one to be on this interview for this, because I knew this was sensitive and I knew you are the professional. So how can we reach out to you, Chase? How can people get a hold of you if they want to use you as a real estate agent? What's some good...
Probably the best is my cell phone. It's on my Instagram. It's Chase Asaris, Chase_A_Saris, nickname from my mom when I was a kid. And I've just stuck with it. It's a little ridiculous. Speaking about professional, you know.
Well, you are professional.
But people don't forget it. So,
hey, that's what Instagram. You gotta have fun. You got a fun handle there. So,
but I would say Instagram, and then just give me a call or text anytime.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chase. Great episode.
Thanks for having me, man.